Jennifer.
Good morning, and joining us right now, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Welcome back to Mornings on the Mall, Dr. Gorka.
Good morning, Mary. Thanks for having me. Hi, Vince.
Good morning.
I wanted to talk to you about the Iran deal. What happens if President Trump decertifies the Iran deal, and what exactly does that do?
It could happen today.
Yes, it's hopefully what's going to happen. If he simply decertifies, then a 60-day window opens. The issue is thrown back to Congress, and then they have to decide whether we have the so-called snapback of the original unilateral nuclear sanctions against Iran, or if we do something else. I ideally hope that the president goes even further and either withdraws us completely from the disastrous Iran deal, or in addition to simple decertification, he also has been tasked by Congress in an act called the Sanctions Act back in August to also register the IRGC, the Iranian Republican Guard, a terrorist organization. That designation would be a long overdue measure that would help us finally put some real pressure on the mullahs in Iran.
And what does that do as far as our world standing as the Iran deal and the declaring the IRGC as a terror group?
Well, look, a lot of the people inside the White House, inside the permanent state, don't want the president to decertify Iran. And the argument they make is that our allies will not be happy with us. They have to remember one thing. On Fridays in the mosques in Iran, it's not the allies, it's not France, it's not Germany that are being called the great Satan who should be destroyed. It's the United States, and these nations are also making a lot of money, and I mean a lot of money, by having the sanctions dropped and having their businesses trade with Iran. So I'm not concerned by that argument. I think it's a false argument. If we lead the way, they will follow. And we've seen what the president has been able to do with things such as NATO, reinvigorating NATO, getting them to spend the requisite amount of money on their own defense. So, it's the world is a better place with more American leadership, not less. And that now is a perfect time for the president to exercise that leadership.
Defense Secretary Mattis last week said Tehran was fundamentally in compliance here and that the U.S. should stick with the pact. Is there a difference of opinion between the defense secretary and the president, and is it meaningful?
Look, I was in the Oval the day we last recertified. That Secretary Mattis wasn't there. It was myself, the president, Steve Bannon, Secretary Mnuchin, and Rex Tillerson and General McMaster. The president knew back then his gut instinct was not to recertify. And he said again and again and again, this is a bad deal, one of the worst deals ever. And there's a very simple explanation for why. Even if Iran is in compliance, that's irrelevant because the deal's so absurd, because on key issues they have been found to be in breach. So if you look at the amount of heavy water they have, the number of centrifuges they have, they've been found to have overstepped the limit. But the deal says it doesn't matter because it gives them at least a month to fix it. That's like having a bank robber in the middle of robbing a bank,
right?
And the local police department calls up the bank and says, hey guys, we'll be there in a few hours. Make sure you're not doing anything naughty by the time we get there. The whole Iran deal is inherited from the Obama administration is a bad SNL skit.
Right. That's what we call malicious compliance. You're keeping to the terms of the deal, but you're violating the spirit of it pretty badly.
I'm impressed, Vince.
Thank you very much. So when we talk about the Iran deal, some people are saying, well, this could send a bad signal to North Korea, meaning if we ever hope of having some sort of agreement with North Korea for them to denuclearize, they're going to see the United States as being a bad faith negotiator if we decertify the Iran deal. How do you see that?
I think it couldn't be any worse than it already is. What has happened in the last 25 years with regards to North Korea? We've constantly given in to their cause for concessions from the first ever administration, from Bill Clinton's administration that gave in to nuclear blackmail. And for the last 25 years, what's happened? Have they behaved better or worse? I'd like, you know, reminding people when it comes to the North Korean crisis, those who like to blame President Trump for what's going on should ask themselves a very simple question. Did North Korea, did Pyongyang acquire illegal ballistic missile technology and illegal nuclear technology after January the 20th, 2017? Has it just happened in the last 8 months, or is there a back history? And at the end of the day, it boils down to one thing. These kinds of deals with dictatorships always fail because dictatorships don't abide by them. Whether it's Adolf Hitler in Munich in 1938, whether it's the Russians with chemical weapons, or whether it's Iran, or whether it's North Korea. So it's not nice pieces of paper that you sign in Vienna or Geneva. It's putting the screws on when it comes to sanctions and other issues. That's how you get things done.
Yeah, Russian news agency quoting, I believe, the foreign minister from North Korea saying that Trump is bellicose and insane and all sorts of things. So, I mean, you've got North Korea constantly being very chippy in the direction of the president of the United States, but it seems that at the end here, they're going to keep pursuing nuclear weapons at all costs.
Well, look, we'll see what they do at the end of the day. I think they've started to realize, or at least Beijing, and Beijing is the key to solving the North Korean crisis. They realize that this isn't President Obama. President Trump is a very different kind of commander-in-chief. He doesn't draw false red lines and then not follow through with those red lines. He just acts, whether it's launching cruise missiles against the Syrian regime when they use chemical weapons against unarmed women and children, or whether it's dropping a 21,000-pound bomb on ISIS in Afghanistan. This is a man who understands that diplomacy, so that, you know, the velvet glove, without the option of the iron fist behind it, is just empty rhetoric. And I think they're finally realizing this is not a president you test.
I'm going to play, we have some audio from last night's speech here. This is Cut 29. And the president of the United States said something very interesting, and I want to see if you have an interpretation of it for us. Go ahead, Mike.
America is being respected again. Something happened today where a country that totally disrespected us called with some very, very important news. And one of my generals came in. They said, you know, I have to tell you, a year ago they would have never done that. It was a great sign of respect. You'll probably be hearing about it over the next few days. But this is a country that did not respect us. This is a country that respects us now. The world is starting to respect us again, believe me.
Sebastian Gorka, do you know who he's talking about there?
Even if I did, I wouldn't tell you.
Oh, come on.
No, seriously. It's not up to me to give the, you know, let the cat out of the bag. That's the president's job when he feels that he wants to do it. I could guess. I think there's one nation we've had a lot of problems with that has acted slightly differently of late, but I'm not going to steal the president's thunder.
Not even to venture a guess. Okay, well, we're going to keep you around anyway because we want to pick your brain some more, even if it involves right. Going into places you don't want to go. Dr. Sebastian Gorka, stay tuned. 8:15, now WMAL traffic and weather every 10 minutes. First on the fives, here's Jamie Witten in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
It's been a doozy of a morning. Let's get into town. That's been a trouble spot for sure for many. Inbound Suitland Parkway, absolutely at a crawl, trying to head up toward 295 in the inbound Douglas Bridge. That's where we had the broken down limo bus. Now they're dealing with the fuel spill, so they're waiting for the sand to get the absorbent there and get all lanes reopened. But that is definitely going to take a lot of extra time. And it looks like now in the backups on the Suitland Parkway for crash reported. 295 its length north coming off the Beltway to the Douglas Bridge and now to the inbound 11th Street Bridge slows to the freeway. We had the crash before the 3rd Street Tunnel. All right. Top side of the Maryland Beltway, extended delays with the crash now between Connecticut Avenue and 270 that had been in the right lane. 66, it has been a tough go. Second crash in the morning in Centerville before 29 Centerville. That was cleared. Delays out of Gainesville this morning. And now you're going to find it's pretty much off and on up through Fair Lakes, Fair Oaks, and through Herndon and Reston. Toll road slows. The crash now reported before Route 7. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, let's check out the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
All right, today, rain showers this morning with overcast skies during the afternoon hours, a high of 67. Tonight, overcast skies with rain showers at times, a low near 60. And then tomorrow, cloudy skies early, a few showers developing later in the day, a high of 68. Currently in the nation's capital, 67 degrees. Traffic and weather brought to you by Potomac Petals and Plants.
This Saturday from 11 to 3, Potomac Petals and Plants celebrates its fall festival. Bring the entire family out for a day of face painting, pumpkin decorations, train rides, animals, and more. Potomac Petals and Plants on River Road in Potomac Village, Washington's premier flower, garden, and gift store.
All right, I'm Mary Walter here with Vince Colonnese, and joining us, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Hey, Dr. Gorka, I was wondering, Sunday night, would you like to have a date with me and Vincent and Heather here, Heather Hunter?
And what, 500 of our closest friends?
Yes, at the Free Speech Forum. Dr. Gorka is going to be there. How awesome is this? I'm so glad you're going to be there. And you're going to be doing a Q&A with the audience, correct?
Yes, I'm very, very excited to have the whole WML team there. And then members of your loyal audience will be able to ask all of us questions. I'm looking forward to it.
And if we're all really lucky, you can start it off by saying greetings.
Greetings.
Hey, that's there it is.
I love it.
Now, if you've not gotten your tickets yet to the Free Speech Forum, you got to do it, WMAL.com, and you can get your tickets right there and join us on Sunday night at the Birchmere starting at 7 o'clock. Dr. Gorka, let's talk Turkey for a minute, if you don't mind. Not getting a lot of play in the media, or hearing mostly North Korea, Russia. Relations between Turkey and the United States have kind of hit a low here. We've got visa suspensions going back and forth. We have the arrest of a U.S. Embassy employee by the Turks in Turkey. Why? First of all, it's not getting a lot of play in the media. And where is this going? We just suspended all non-immigrant visa services to the Turks on Sunday.
Yeah, this is a story that probably should have more attention than it does. The fact is that there are serious issues with the direction in which Turkey is heading in recent years. The Erdogan regime, I call it a regime on purpose, has been acting in distinctly undemocratic and anti-democratic ways. And we have to remember that this isn't just a very important geostrategic nation. Look at the size of it. Look at where it lies geographically. It's also a NATO member, and the ways that it has been behaving with regards to Muslim fundamentalism, support of specific non-state actors, with the regime's own attitude to dissent in the country. This is an issue. This is a problem. It's not going to be solved overnight, but hopefully they too realize, as other nations do as well, that this is a different kind of administration and that business as usual will not do.
There's a, I'd like to jump over to a report from NBC, if I could, yesterday, and the president now going after NBC several times over the last 24 hours. NBC News reporting yesterday that the president this summer called for an increase of the nuclear arsenal by tenfold after seeing a slide showing that our nuclear arsenal had dropped in number since the 1960s. Obviously, you were working for the White House during that time. Is it your assessment that at any point the president actually wanted a tenfold increase in nuclear weapons?
No, this is another perfect example of the fake news industrial complex. I thought I had an adequately cynical understanding of the mainstream media when I worked in the White House. I had no idea, and I've seen it firsthand in stories written about myself as well. But there are people who call themselves journalists out there who literally make stories up out of whole cloth. And this is a classic example. This never happened, at least not the way it was stated. But they're just creating noise for the sake of creating noise. And it's one of the reasons that the media's reputation is so low right now, because the American public have realized, thanks to the president, just how unscrupulous they are.
Yeah, the report was authored by a couple well-known names at NBC, Courtney Kuby, Kristen Welker, Carol Lee, and Savannah Guthrie, all getting under this headline. And they kind of make it sound like that defense officials present who heard this supposed story were very paternal towards the president. They decided that this was very troublesome to them and they needed to go back and figure out how to deal with this. So in your view, this is just a completely made-up, invented story.
Utterly, utterly, completely bogus. And, you know, it shouldn't surprise anybody. I mean, it's literally, you know, the reason that CNN is 13th in national rankings for audience, two positions behind Nick at Night cartoons. It's the reason that Jeff Bezos has to keep the Washington Post alive as a vanity project. I mean, you know, the classic media has distorted truth, or thought they have a monopoly on the truth, for far too long. And the president, and God bless his Twitter feed, have just jumped around that exploitation of reality, and we're seeing straight through it.
And the defense secretary and the president, excuse me, both denying this entirely, saying it's fake news.
Right.
Yeah, and right. Although one quick question here, do you think the president went a little bit too far when he talked about whether we should be looking to the licensing of some of these stations?
No, I don't actually. The Fourth Estate media, a functioning media, is absolutely essential to a healthy, functioning democracy or a republic such as ours. However, they have to serve the public interest. They're supposed to be serving the public interest by providing information. But when we see, such as the Harvey Weinstein case, when we see these so-called purveyors of the unvarnished truth deliberately hide the truth or distort the truth, then you have to ask the question, how are they serving the public interest? Is it about the public interest, or is it about distorting the truth? Is it about hiding the truth? These are very serious questions. And it's, you know, I think the Harvey Weinstein scandal is just a great example of, you know, the New York Times, NBC spiking stories for political interest or because their bosses don't want to get their friend in trouble. That's not being a news organ. That's fake news.
So many other stories we could get to, but we're out of time here. Sebastian Gorka, thanks so much for stopping by Mornings on the Mall.
Thank you. See you guys Sunday.
And see you Sunday at the Free Speech Forum. All the details and ticket information available on WMAL.com. It's 8:24 now.